All right, well, over the last so many weeks, we were on a series called going to the top of your mountain. Whatever mountain might be facing you in your life, friend, you can conquer it with God's help. You know, don't let that mountain stand over you and intimidate you. With God's grace, you can climb it and stand over it in Jesus' name. Amen? Whatever that mountain might be, it might be a mountain of addiction, it may be a mountain of emotional problems, a mountain of relational challenges or sickness in your body. Whatever it is, you can conquer it. Last week we talked about resurrection power. From Ephesians 1, 18, 19, and 20, the same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead is available to you and me as believers in Jesus Christ. That same power is available to us for the conquering of our mountain. But there is a switch that causes that power of God to flow through us, that dunamis, miraculous power of God. What is the switch that causes God's power to flow through us? Real quick.
Faith.
And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6 that the one thing which pleases God is faith. Doubtless faith. Not doubting for even a moment that God is able to do what His Word says He can do for you. Do you agree with that? All right, well, today we're going to begin a new series, a new study called What Does God Love? What does God love? Make no mistake about it. The thing God loves most, the thing God loves most is humanity, the people He created. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves people so very much. God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. God loves you so very much. You are so valuable to God. But there are certain character traits that God loves. And it comes from Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Got a Bible? Turn there, or I'll just read it to you. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to Him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension amongst the brothers. Seven are detestable to Him. This word in the original could be translated, seven are an abomination to Him. He utterly hates them. And the thing that tops the list is haughty eyes. The King James Version has it as a proud look. Basically, it's saying that the one thing God hates is pride. You know, if God really hates these seven sins, then He really loves their opposites. Would you agree? Why is it that pride tops the list? Why is it that pride tops the list?
It prevents you from being humble.
It probably tops the list because it's the root of so many other sins. It tops the list because God really dislikes pride. And you know, having studied the word pride, I came down to this conclusion. How would you define pride? This is the way I would define it. Pride is an overinflated view of oneself while undervaluing others. That's it. It's seeing oneself as something more than that person really is. You know, I interact with people all the time, and in some of the conversations I have with people, it seems like the three individuals they like talking most about are me, myself, and I. Anybody here ever interact with some of those people? They like to talk about me, myself, and I. And if you think about it, the center letter of the word pride, P-R-I-D-E, is what?
I.
They're talking about I and me. You know, when I think about pride, I think about a peacock. Printed up a little picture for you guys. A peacock. A peacock displays its beautiful feathers. It struts them. From my human perspective, it seems that this peacock has an overinflated view of himself. He's competing against other male peacocks to win the lady. That's the picture I get when I think of pride. And It stems, this sin of pride stems from which original temptation? Think about it. Where does it stem from?
Lust.
All right, anybody else?
Greed.
All right, anybody else? It stems back from the garden. Remember, God said to Adam in Genesis chapter 2, He said, Adam, I am putting you in this garden. You can eat the fruit of any tree in the garden, but the tree I do not want you eating of is the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. So lo and behold, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, the tempter, Satan, the serpent, he comes to the woman. What does he do? He says in verse 1, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. Now, here's the temptation. This is where pride stems from, this original temptation. The serpent says in verse 4 of Genesis 3, you will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so what? The woman fell to the temptation. She ate the fruit. She gave some to her husband and sin entered the world. Friend, that's what pride is. It's a person wanting to be God unto themselves. It's a mindset of, you know what? I'm in control of my own life. I know what's best for me. I've got the reins of my own life. Nobody, no thing is going to tell me what to do with my life. Wanting to be a God unto himself or herself. Seeing himself too highly. Wanting to be in full control of his life. But on the other hand, if God hates pride, what does he love? Here's the good news. If God hates pride, he loves
obedience.
Okay, good. The good news is that if God hates pride, he loves what? It's opposite, which is humility. You got it, brother. God loves humility. What does humility say? Humility says, God, you are God alone and I am not. God, you are God alone and I am not. God, you be in full control of my life. God, you take the reins of my life. You take the steering wheel of my life. God, any good thing that I have in my life, God, has come from you. Health, finances, a job, relationship, all the good things I have in life, God, it has come from you. This is an attitude of humility, and God loves this attitude. It's this attitude of humility that God blesses. Humility says, God, I am the creation, and you alone are the creator. God, I am the clay, and you alone are the potter. Would you agree today that God loves an attitude of humility? Amen. Amen? Today's message is on that. And for the next few minutes, I want to talk about the dangers of pride versus the blessings of humility. The dangers of pride versus the blessings of humility. Now, what does the Word of God say in Proverbs 16, verse 18? What does pride result in? What is one of the dangerous things that pride can result in? Proverbs 16, verse 18. From the NIV. You got it, brother. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And I think this scripture is well illustrated in the life of a king named Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon in the Old Testament. You might want to turn to Daniel chapter 4. Kind of give you an overview of this chapter, the first 27 verses of Daniel 4. Nebuchadnezzar has this dream of this tree that grows up into the sky so high. And then he hears a messenger, a holy one, saying, cut this tree down. So Nebuchadnezzar is confused. He's baffled about this dream. And he calls for all the wise men of Babylon and says, interpret this dream for me. And none of the wise men are able to interpret it except one godly man. Daniel. And you can read it in Daniel chapter 4. Daniel says this, basically. He says, King Nebuchadnezzar, guess what? It's got a revelation here. King Nebuchadnezzar, you are that tree. And King Nebuchadnezzar, the cutting down of that tree applies to you. So let's look at Daniel 4, verse 28. The dream is fulfilled. We're talking about the dangers of pride versus the blessings of humility. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar.
Could you tell us what page that
was? Daniel 4, verse
28.
12 months later, verse 29, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? This is King Nebuchadnezzar saying this. What does this sound like to you? To me, it sounds like pride to the nth degree. It is a way overinflated view of himself, talking about his great majesty. How dare he, right? Look at verse 33. Jump down to verse 33 of Daniel 4. Immediately what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. What happened to Nebuchadnezzar in verse 33? This was considered his what? It's considered his fall. He ate grass like cattle. He had the claws of a bird. This man had fallen. And in the midst of his fall, he was what? In the midst of his fall, as a result of his pride, Nebuchadnezzar was humbled. Let's say it. He was humbled. Let's say it. He was humbled. He was humbled. And it says in verse 34, at the end of the time, at the end of his humbling, I would say, Nebuchadnezzar raised his eyes towards heaven and my sanity was restored. And it says this, then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? What was Nebuchadnezzar doing here? He was expressing his humility. What was he saying? He was saying, God, you are God alone, and I am not. God, you are the ruler of this entire world and everybody in it. I'm sorry, God, about my pride, but I have now humbled myself. Verse 36. At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of heaven, because everything he does is right and all his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to humble. He realized that God was God and that he was not. And when he humbled himself, when he stood before God in humility, what was the blessing that came into the life of Nebuchadnezzar? The restoration of his sanity, and he received his throne back. Friends, I'm here to tell you today, let us walk in an attitude of humility before God, because humility, submission before God, attracts the blessings of God into our life. What did Jesus say in Luke 14, verse 11? You don't have to turn there. I'll read it. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. You know, last year I had an experience with someone. And I was talking to this one individual. I told him that I had gone to ORU, and I was thinking about myself that I was something a little more than what I really am, and a little bit of pride was creeping in there into my life. So I'm preaching to myself today, friends. And I was telling this guy how I had done missions work overseas, especially in the nation of India. how I do missions work here in downtown Tulsa with the poor and the homeless. And I was thinking to myself that he was seeing me as, you know, some pretty impressive person, you know, just some pride I was dealing with in my heart. And so about a week later, I have interaction with the same person. And guess what? Concerning a certain issue, he just lambasted me. And I quickly realized that he did not see me as highly as I saw myself. And from that, I learned what? I learned humility, not to see myself too highly. Let's all keep a small view of ourselves. Because why? God is God alone. He's the creator, right? And who are we? We're just the creation. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Another thing that pride results in is what? Another danger of pride is that it can result in... No, pride can result in what? In one other danger. It can result in quarrels. Proverbs 13, verse 10. Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Pride breeds quarrels. Proverbs 13, 10. Now, some people have an overinflated view. Now, think about this. Some people have an overinflated view of their perspective, their view, their opinion. They've got no flex. And they've got this mentality that it's either my way or the highway. Anybody here ever meet one of those? I used to have a principal in high school. He got the whole school together one time in the auditorium, and he said this. He said, listen, guys, it's either my way or the highway. You know, a lot of people have that mentality about their perspective, their view, their opinion. It's the only one that is right. You know, if others don't see their perspective, their opinion, their way, they get upset with them, they fight with them, they argue with them to try to bring them to their side. And when you do that, you only breed quarrels and fighting and strife. That makes sense? You know, when I was younger, my dad had a general contracting business in New York City. And then he moved it to New Jersey. On the weekends and in the summers, I would work with him. We'd install windows sometimes. We'd do some roofing work. We'd build some decks. You know, I kind of had my perspective on how things should be done in the business. And my dad had his perspective. And now looking back, I should have submitted to him. But I kind of had this mentality that it's my way is right. And so I tried to present my way to my dad, and that would bring me into fighting, arguing, and quarreling with him. My way is better. And he would say, no, this is the way we're going to do it. And so we each had our opinion, and we fought and we quarreled. But that's not the way to go about life, is it, friends? It's not the way to go about life. On the other hand, what does humility bring about? What blessing does humility bring about in our lives? Instead of quarreling, humility brings about peace, harmony, and unity. You know, friends, there's going to be people out there who have a different perspective than you. They see things differently than you do. Allow that person to express his perspective, his viewpoint, his opinion. It may not be the right one. It may not be the biblical one. But all you can do in that case is pray to God. Because if you try to convince that person, guess what? What is it going to do? If you try to convince that person of your way, it's going to bring you into fighting with that person. And that person will still hold on to his viewpoint, regardless. The only one that can change that person's mind is whom? God and God alone. So let that person express his perspective, his view, his opinion, and pray this. Say, God, you know, you're the only one that can change this person's heart. Enlighten the eyes of this person's understanding. God, only you can do it. And I guarantee you, friend, that if you pray that to God, God will work a miracle on your behalf. He will open up that person's eyes so that you can maintain the harmony and the peace and the unity. Does that make sense? So pride brings about what? Fighting and quarreling, right? But humility brings the blessing of peace. Is that making sense? Word of God says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You know, the prideful person is wanting to do his thing. He's disobeying God. He's resisting God. And guess what? When you sow seeds of resistance against God by your disobedience, you reap a harvest of resistance from God. And if God is resisting you, there is no way you're going to win. So what do you do? What's the solution? Let's humble ourselves and obey what God is telling us to do. Amen? Amen. So how do we develop an attitude of humility? How do we go about developing an attitude of humility? Having a lowly state of mind. How do we go about developing this attitude? Realizing this, that every single person on the face of this earth is created in the image of God. In God's eyes, we are all equal. God is no respecter of persons. Acts 10:34. No one person is superior to another. Guess what? The same color of blood runs through us all. What color is that? It's red. None of us is above another person. Let's value every single person we come into contact with. Amen? Amen. Realize this. The same blood of Christ was shed for every person on the face of this earth of every single age. Realize and speak this to yourself. God is God and I am not. Let's say it together. God is God and I am not. He is the creator. I am the creation. He is the potter. I am the clay. He is in full control. And I am not. God help me maintain an attitude of humility in my interactions with others and with you. In Jesus' name, amen. And friend, the good news is this. If we remain small in our mind's eye, we will serve others rather than devalue them. If we remain small and humble in our mind's eye, we will serve other people instead of fighting with them, instead of devaluing them, just like Jesus did. What does it say about Jesus in Philippians chapter 2? Turn over there. Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, he did what? He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, here's the good news, verse 9. Because he humbled himself, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If we claim to live in Christ, we must walk as Christ walked. 1 John 2:6. And the walk of Christ was a walk of what? Humility. Obedience, exactly. Let's remain humble, friends. God has got so many blessings in store for you if we can just maintain this attitude of humility before God and before others. Jesus said it. He who exalts himself will be humbled. But he who humbles himself will be exalted. He will be blessed. Amen. Did you get something today? Amen. Will you apply it to your life this week? Yes. And for the rest of your life? Yes. All right. Amen.